All right, welcome again. My name is Steve Elzinga. This is the coaching pre-marriage badge coaching class. And we've been looking at the seven connections that most married couples have, things that we should really go over before the wedding, before the marriage. And the last of the seven that I want to deal with is how couples are physically connected. Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness." God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So this male and female thing is part of the created order. It's how, in part, how we reflect the very image of God. And then Genesis 2:24, a man leaves his father and mother, and he's united with his wife, and they become one flesh. And one flesh is, you know, a figurative thing, but it's also a literal thing, referring to the sexual oneness, but also spiritual oneness. It's how we reflect the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The mystery of that connection is now reflected in the mystery of a man and a woman sharing a life together and being so close that they're considered one. And that sort of is exhibited in a physical way by that a strong sexual connection. So husband and wife, they want to get married, and that's part of what marriage is all about. Now, hopefully the couple has not engaged in sexual intercourse before they got married. And maybe they have, and so you may have to deal with that. But the Bible teaches that that is reserved for married couples, that the physical part is an open door only after the commitment. And that's what the wedding is all about. And we'll be talking about the wedding vows in the next session. So, in terms of thinking about the physical connection between a man and a woman, there's certain areas that we can reflect on. Number one, there's the culture that we live in. There's a clash between the Victorian age and the current, if it feels good, and consenting adults are okay with it, do it age. Okay, so we have the Victorian age, which was you know hundreds of years ago, where people were very shy about sex, physical connections. It wasn't talked about. People wore a lot of clothes. Some women even were raised that it's not even good. It's just one of those necessary evil kinds of things. I mean, that was the Victorian age, and then now we have our present day where movies, everything is explicit, and sex has become just a recreational activity. And some people like to run, they like to ski, they like to bike, and you know, sex is one of those recreational activities. And if two adults are consenting and they just want to go have fun, and you can take certain drugs so you don't get pregnant and so on. There's ways of preventing that. So, it's taking all the meaning out of it. So, in what way is the couple that wants to get married, the couple that you're coaching, in what ways have they been affected by these different views that have surrounded them? How has either age affected the relationship? Is sex something like it's a dirty thing, and it's you know, and Christians sometimes can give that thought that it's fraught with all kinds of danger, and it's a negative thing, or is it a positive thing, or is it a free for all thing, or you know, in what ways do they struggle with the culture around them? Number two. Looking at a person's Christian background. The church affects our views of sexuality by what it says and by what it doesn't say. What was your perception of what the church had to say about sex and marriage? So in growing up in the church for myself, sex was kind of a negative thing. It was always part of a warning. hey, be careful of this. You could get hurt. This is a, you know, it's almost like this is a bad thing. That was the impression I got in the church that I grew up in. Then there's the background of parents. So again, you're helping your couple that wants to get married think about this whole physical arena. First of all, you know, how has the culture affected them? Secondly, how has the church view? I mean, what did they get out of their church experience with regard to this subject? And then number three, parents. 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. See, that's what a marriage is. A marriage is not 1 + 1 = 2. A marriage is 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. Because there's her parents, there's his parents, and then you're the new couple. That's 6 people involved in this marriage. And all the prior things that you saw with your parents and what she saw with her parents, these things are going to affect your view of the physical relationship between a man and a woman. So here's some questions. How demonstrative, how affectionate were your parents while you were growing up? Did your parents hold hands? Did you ever see them kiss? Were they affectionately, physically in love with one another? Or could you see any evidence of that? Or how has their relationship affected you in your relationship to your spouse or your potential spouse? How has that affected you? Okay, number four. Okay, another area to think about the effects of the culture around you in terms of your view of this physical connection between a husband and a wife. Your friends have an influence. So his friends, her friends. Many of us learn more about sex from our friends than from any other source. Why are friends not the best source of sex education? So now we're going to talk about the friends' influence. You know, her friends and the influence they've had, his friends and the influence that they've had. And number five, the internet. The internet is free. It's available 24/7, 365. And one can access any and every picture and or video of any sexual philosophy that exists on the planet in a moment's notice. Why is this potentially destructive for a marriage relationship? Okay, let's talk in general about that, and then let's talk about, you know, to the couple. Has this already been an effect? You know, the whole issue of pornography, especially among men, even married men, even Christian married men, has a huge impact on marriage. And it has a huge impact on the physical relationship that a couple may or may not have. All right, then what you want to do is get the couples to read, and it's all in this book, The Secret Desires and Fears of a Man and a Woman in Love. And this is really just the book of Song of Songs. So in this book is the Song of Songs. There are places to write things and underline things, but you want to have the couple read the Song of Songs together. As you read, underline anything that relates to these topics. So they're going to read this, but they're supposed to underline and make notes of these topics. So for the woman, for example, the typical man is visual. Okay, that's, for example, a typical man is this. So she's going to be reading in the Song of Songs, and then she's going to come across, for example, chapter 2, verse 14, my dove is hiding behind the rocks. Behind an outcrop on the cliff. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is pleasant. Your face is lovely. Okay? So this is the man talking. Okay? And then so the point is a man is visual. He wants to see his spouse. So what we're trying to do as potential husband and wife, go through the Song of Songs, they're going to be underlining things that relate to, you know, what a man is, what a man fears, what he wants, and then the man is going to be looking and underlining things that the woman fears and the woman wants and what the woman is. Okay, so these are just examples. So a typical man wants sex, for example. Song of Songs 4, verse 10. Your love delights me, my treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine, your perfume more fragrant than spices. So a man is motivated by this. A typical man fears competition. Song of Songs 8, verse 13. Oh, my darling, lingering in the gardens, your companions are fortunate to hear your voice. Let me hear it too. So men are competitive. They want this woman exclusively for themselves. Okay, for the man is now, you know, looking through the Song of Songs, and he'll find, for example, Song of Songs, verse 1, verse 6, don't stare at me because I am dark. The sun has darkened my skin. Okay, this is the woman talking. So the man, as he reads this, goes, ah, this is what women are like. Okay, so he puts down a typical woman who's sometimes self-conscious about her looks. That's what he's getting out of the Song of Songs. Or he comes across Song of Songs 1, verse 6. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. So he may conclude a typical woman wants to be held. So you get what we're trying to do. We're trying to have each one go through the Song of Songs and then sort of analyze the Song of Songs and pick out those parts that, you know, say this is what a woman is. This is what a woman fears. This is what a woman wants. Okay? And then the woman is going through and doing the same thing. This is what a man is. This is what a man fears. This is what a man wants. So, for example, here's another one, Song of Songs 2:17. Before the dawn breezes blow and the night shadows flee, return to me, my love, like a gazelle or a young stag on the rugged mountains. The typical woman fears being abandoned. Okay? So the man is reading this. He comes across this verse and he goes, oh, I see women. This is what they fear. So he writes it down. Okay, so this is what, you know, this is what this book now, it looks like. This is what you'll find there. You know, the marriage book. So men find answers for your woman. So a typical woman is, now the man goes through the Song of Songs and he writes down every verse that he thinks says something about what a typical woman is like. Then a typical woman wants, what does she want? She wants comfort, she wants love, she wants to be caressed, she wants, you know, well, what's in there? What's in the Song of Songs? And so he's trying to figure out these answers from the Song of Songs. The typical woman fears. So he goes through again. He writes down those verses. Okay, then the woman finds answers for the man. The typical man is. Okay, what is he? He's competitive. He's jealous. He's passionate. He's, you know, he's strong. He wants to appear to be strong. He, you know, all the things that she can find in the Song of Songs related to this. Or the typical man wants. What does he want? You're going to find all kinds of things in the Song of Songs. The typical man fears, okay? So the woman is going through the Song of Songs trying to figure out what a man is and wants and fears, and then the woman is doing the same thing to figure out for the man. Then they come together. The men share their findings. If it's a group, all the men do it. If it's just a couple, okay, the man shares what he has found. Here's what I found. The woman shares what she has found. And then question 3, what do you think was God's purpose or purposes in creating the physical dimension to marriage? So now they discuss these things. And it'll be, you know, I've done this several times in retreats and it works really well because it just brings out all kinds of the differences and the issues that are going on between a man and a woman and their physical connection. Okay. And then we have a closing prayer. Future husband, wife, hold hands and all pray together. Future husband, dear God, I'm so blessed with the most beautiful part of your creation, my fiance, Marie. Okay? Future wife, dear God, I'm so blessed with the most outstanding part of your creation, my fiance. Future husband, I thank you specifically. List all the ways that she's beautiful to you, okay? So the husband, you know, she's her face, her hair, her body, her knees, you know, her toes. Future wife, I thank you specifically. Now she lists. And these are the kinds of things that they find in the book of the Song of Songs. Both, we thank you for the physical gift of pleasure that we each receive when we serve the needs of the other. husband, help me seek out my wife's pleasure before my own. Wife, help me seek out my husband's pleasure before my own. Okay, future husband, help me to love my fiancée as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for it. Future wife, help me, Lord, to give respect to my fiancée as the church gives respects to Christ. Both in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, there's supplemental material at the end of this. Okay, so we just went over the basics of the physical connection. But there's several short Bible studies for couples at the back. There's answers to quiz questions. There's the issue of couples living together. Okay, I've had couples, they come in, they want to get married, and they're already living together. They're already having sex. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I have a whole little study that you get the couple to read something that Paul said about, you know, when you lie with a prostitute, you're one with her. So in other words, when you have sex with someone, you're already married to them. So we have an issue of you're already married. So what do we want to do here? And I have some possible solutions in there. So you might need to go to that material if that's the case. Or if a couple has already had sex together, what do? We can stop having sex until the wedding. We can repent. We can start all over. We can get married next week in my office. I mean, there's options of things that you can do. There's supplemental material of men and women and the sexual difference between men and women. There's just biological differences between men and women, and so taking some time to go over those biological differences. You know, men are more visual. They respond to what they see, and women are in general more they need more security and more of a sense of a relationship. It's not what you look like. It's, you know, have we talked this past week? Have we connected? Are we sharing anything together? And so it's good for the man and the woman to not only understand themselves, but also understand how different that they are in terms of their physical sexuality. So, you know, rather than assuming that someone is like you, we're totally different people. So going over some of that material so they can sort of, you know, go in with their eyes open. All right, so that's the end of the seven connections. Next time we're going to shift our focus now towards the wedding ceremony.